Beyonce made you enter your yeehaw phase.
Jeff, sure.
You're in your yeehaw phase.
Sure.
Hey, this is part two, we're freaking out, of Cowboy Carter. Beyonce's Cowboy Carter, of course. And our guest is Becca Wolfley.
Of Best Coast Media Productions. And so check out Best Coast Media Productions. And I'm Astra Navarez.
And I'm Jeff Horst.
And we had to split this into two because
we did.
Cowboy Carter is...
a lot.
27 tracks of goodness. So enjoy part two.
Oh, when we were talking about different genres and stuff.
Yes.
I just thought that it was interesting. Something my therapist brought up because we talk more about pop culture than anything else.
In your life.
Than
I
my
love
life.
Your
or
therapist.
He uses
I've never
pop
met him,
culture
but I love him.
To like relate to my to what's going on. But he brought up something. He's like, Google it. Morgan Wallen has a song that's a trap music on a trap beat. And everybody was like, oh, this is trap. This is country trap. This is trap. They loved it and they were fine. And then it's like Morgan Wallen. I just remember him as the N-word guy forever.
Yeah.
That's how I learned
gonna
of
say,
his
I don't
existence.
Know who he is. But
he's
then,
the N-word guy.
Yeah, he
and,
is. Oops.
And I'm like, that's crazy. So there is definitely a different,
standard.
You know, not. I don't think everybody is being held to the same standard because there's definitely been hip hop influences in country music for the last decade.
And I just keep hearing now about Keith Urban because everybody's like, Beyonce's not country. It's like she's from fucking Texas.
Oh yeah, and
he
Keith Urban's
is
from Australia.
Australia. Yeah. What the fuck? Taylor Swift is from Philly.
Mm-hmm.
Like what? She's not even from the South.
Yeah.
But that's just crazy. So alligator tears from listening to this today, I started thinking of it just seems like white girl tears. You know what I mean?
I was thinking, interpreting it more as like she works so hard to like maintain this love and her relationship and like, it's just like, oh, like when this person is having, like, how do you reconcile with somebody who has hurt you and now they're sad and you're like, oh, you're sad? Like, how do I even sympathize right now? Because I've busted my ass to keep this love together and this love going and it tore me apart. But you're allowed to be sad too. You know, like her partner is allowed to be sad too, right? I think it's a transition from the Jolene song, right? So it's right after Jolene, which is her kind of threatening, right, the woman, and then it's just like now her having to deal with her partner's grief of it all, and you know, how do you process that as the person who was directly affected by that, and like, you know, dealing with somebody who can also be disappointed in themselves and feel ashamed and feel that grief and like, and what they did to their family or their relationship or whatever. And it's just like, I think that's where the alligator tears come from.
Because like, I'm wondering if things can
alligator
have
tears are
to,
fake tears.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. How do I even believe your tears are real? Because, you know, like what we went through, what you put me through, you know?
Because I'm wondering about things having double meanings too.
Yeah,
because
the changing
the
of
other
religion.
One is... Where is the tyrant? I feel like tyrant has two different meanings, but like alligator tears, the way she says, now you told me to move a mountain and I did it. You told me the river runs, whatever. You told me to build a dam. I did it. It's like all these things of like black people have done everything that this country has asked them to do. And it's still the people who, and you told me to change my religion.
Yeah.
It's like
I pulled up the
slaves
right
were
here,
told to change their religion. And then in the end, if somebody is called a racist, they're crying.
Yeah.
Like, oh no.
I see. Oh, that's a good take. Yeah.
It's interesting that
I
see
both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Completely. And I don't know.
You say change religions. Now I spend Sundays with you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, yeah, It's like,
and but as soon as they talk about the racism in country music or the racism in America, yes. it's like, oh, you're being dramatic, or yeah. you're making things up.
Oh, you're calling
up,
me
or,
a name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah. Or, and that makes me sad, you know? Yeah. It's just like, okay, but like, you're not getting it. Like, I went through so much pain, and like, the fact that I can't even talk about these things without you like crying about it, it's just like, I can't, like, the depth is not there, you know? Like,
yeah. And how does it feel to be adored? I feel like a lot of the album is talking about, like, I've done everything you told me to. I got long white hair on this damn cover. I'm doing everything you want. I'm being country. I'm being black. I'm being everything. And you're still mad. Now what? It's very much like we've done everything. What do you fucking want from us?
I think I want to go to this website more often just to click on things, even if it's not 100% accurate, because it's just
the
somebody else's.
Lyrics.
Yeah, even if it's just somebody's opinion.
Oh, I want to mention that there's, I don't know if this is appropriate to mention in another podcast, but
sure.
I really like Dissect. There's this podcast called Dissect, and what they do
okay.
is yes. they're doing kind of what we're doing, except much better than we're doing it.
There's don't insult this podcast.
No.
Look, we have like 38 listeners.
You'll have 40. We'll have 40 by tomorrow. Okay. No, there's this podcast called Dissect, and you know, I'm a big Frank Ocean fan, and a friend had recommended it to me because they go basically track by track and they dissect the lyricism,
yeah,
and the album itself, the segues into it, and they go into the artist's background and history and you know what these certain lyrics mean, what the lines mean. Like line by line, it's really cool.
Wow!
But they did it with Lemonade, and so I was like jazzed about that. Mm. I really hope they do it with this album.
Yes.
I really would love to hear Dissect. If you're listening, if you're one of those added followers, we would love to see this album dissected.
Every time I listen to this album, I hear another line that's like a, oh, that line could mean this, I don't remember the last time I've heard an album where different lines just come up. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, oh, I didn't even notice that before. And the fifth listen, I heard this lyric that stood out and has a reference to this whole other thing.
Yeah.
And then some things can just be references to other work. Like before, when we were talking about, like, this is saying that there's a line that references one of the songs she did on the Lion King soundtrack. You know what I mean?
What is the line?
And all I need is rain or the roots get weak.
Oh.
Sunrise in the morning, you're all I need. All I need is the rain or the roots get weak. And it says the line references Beyonce's song Black Parade from the soundtrack album The Lion King.
Oh.
Where the line goes, I'm going back to the south. I'm going back, 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 where my roots ain't watered down. Something, something. But I'm like, yeah, you could do this forever. You could do this for the rest of your life.
The beauty about that, like rhetorical interpretation too, is like, and I want to make it very clear for our 38 listeners, is that when you interpret something, it's like you were saying just a bit ago, is that, you know, it can be more than one thing. It doesn't have to be. It's not an extreme.
Yeah.
And like a lot of artists write in this way intentionally because they want you to draw both interpretations from it or multiple interpretations from it. And I think like a lot of really great artists will say this too. They're like, you know, you don't have to figure it out. You don't have to figure out exactly what it's about, because it's important that you have your own, you know, experience with it, and your own, you can take those lyrics and turn them into your own interpretation and your own personal connectivity with it. But it is cool. It's cool to dissect it, but as long as we understand that these things can, like, you know, more than one interpretation can exist. And this is a great example of that. I never thought of that lens of like, being a black woman, like having to appease white America, you know, and I was thinking more of the relationship lens of it. But
really, and I wonder if that's what it'll be, if there's ever, because like for visuals, I've heard visuals and I've also heard movie. And if that was a movie and it all just becomes an allegory for something else, kind of like how Barbie was, like how but like how Wizard of Oz, you're going like on a journey from one place to the other, and then it becomes like an enlightenment, or it becomes a transition, but it could be a relationship, and then that person is a symbol of that other type of relationship of world philosophy or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That barely made sense, but it made sense to me. Okay. Like, what's next?
Oh, it's Smoke Hour 2.
Oh, with this one, he says, you don't know, sometimes you don't know you like something until someone shows you.
Yeah, somebody puts you on that good shit.
On the good shit.
Yeah. And it's cool that it's kind of like, hey, you might not like Beyonce and you might be a country music fan. You might like Willie Nelson, but hey, look at what I'm showing you, you know.
I do think we all have that friend. Like, I have that friend from college. We're still very good friends. That, I mean, I grew up in Southern Indiana where it was country music and pop music, and that was essentially it. Like, that's all you listen to. And so I didn't have taste. and I still
taste didn't come out for me until about I was until, I remember when I got taste.
And I still you know, I still I've a very, you know, I don't have a ton of taste. Sometimes I feel some things. But no, my friend Brendan really opened my eyes to music. In college I studied poetry a little bit, and I didn't even like tap into rap music and R&B and stuff like that. And he was just like, "Wait, why aren't you listening to like The Weeknd and Frank Ocean?" And I didn't even really listen to Kanye until good Kanye, early Kanye, until college.
We call him Kanye, not Ye, different dude.
Until college, and it was just like my eyes like got like twice as big, you know, once, wow. And my ears did too. Yeah. Like when I started listening to that music, and I don't know where I was going with that. Oh, the Willie Nelson. It's just like the, you know, and Beyonce has made music like that. It's just like, people hear Beyonce, and I mean, we've already mentioned this. It's like they want to write her off.
Yeah.
And it's just like, well, this is an album that can change your mind, you know?
Especially this point in the album for me. I'm listening to it in order. And so there's already several songs that I'm like, this is already great, and I'm halfway through. And it was like, yeah, it was very well put for it to be there. Of like, if you've been listening to this album and you got to hear now, you know, you might be one of the people that thought that, you know what I mean? That's what it felt like to me as well.
Mm-hmm.
Of like, you might think you don't like country. And yeah. You know what I mean? It felt like she knew who her audience was that was going to listen to it. That she knew that she was going to have a lot of people that didn't like country before.
Mm-hmm.
She knows she's got a large black fan base that might have been like, you know, a little hesitant to embrace country music or just, you know, anybody. It's a divisive genre. So,
well, and that's back to what we were saying about genres in general, is like them restricting, right? You put something in a box and you push that box away before you even open it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just for fun. For one thing, Willie Jones, I didn't know who that was. And is that the guy you said was on the Spider-Man soundtrack, Jeff?
I don't remember which person anymore.
Okay. Anyway, the only thing that I noticed off this was time heals everything, which was kind of like sad, but also hopeful. Like kind of like this album is the America Has a Problem era. And hopefully, eventually, there's hope. But and then at the end, I never noticed that it. She says, "I pray to her."
Okay, she referenced. She does say it. She says it twice. I'm like, oh, she's like acknowledging like the whole like God is a woman conversation.
Yeah,
I'm like, hell yeah, sister.
Yeah, I'm wondering if that goes back to just the religion of not everything was pray to a man potentially in the roots of religion that got changed up. Mm. So,
and I googled it. Shabuzi was who was on the also on the Spider-Man soundtrack as well. His work.
Two Most Wanted. Oh my God! I feel like I love that song right now. I mean, I loved it when I heard it, but it just gets better and better with every listen.
Wait, which one is it?
Two Most Wanted, Miley Cyrus song.
Oh, that's so. I love Miley. I'm so glad she got to be on this album.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cause she's had this resurgence and this mental health resurgence, really. Like
yeah.
She was just understanding her history, her relationship history, both of their relationship history. I'm sure they bonded over making this song together.
Yeah.
Very cool song. Very cool song.
I've heard people say that it's a queer song.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. The more I heard it.
What are they doing in that back seat?
The more I heard it, the more I was like, I guess.
I'll be your backseat baby driving you crazy.
But there's a part where, let me see what part it was. Hold on. Been a while since I haven't tried to pull away, but it's time for something new. It kind of seems like a, like, oh, I'm going to, I'm going to try this out. I don't
know.
Came
out of nowhere. Didn't give no warning.
But I don't know. It's a theory. But when I first heard it, it felt like a women being best friends song, which I thought was really cool. And I thought it's cool that they're driving down the 405. So I would like to see that the next time I'm on the 405. I want to see Miley and Beyonce.
Just palling around.
Yeah. But it's such a good song. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Miley Cyrus came out of her
voice goes with it so
like
well.
That. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
She opened up the song, and I think it's the first song. Well, other people had like on in between. I feel like she was the first person that started a song on her album.
Oh yeah, yeah. Because I read this article on NPR. This man was talking shit about Cowboy Carter.
It really made her
mad. Oh my God, I went insane because some things just weren't even
true.
We're
just wrong. They weren't even like you have an opinion I disagree with. It was just flat out like, no, you're just wrong.
He was saying that the women on Blackbird didn't get their own part, but Tanner Adele sings a verse. And it's like, you didn't realize it, I guess. But
yeah, did you go to their TikToks? They're fucking happy as shit. They're fucking...
Because one of the things was just
they love it. You're mad on their behalf.
All these people, the guest stars, are relegated to background vocals.
Oh, it'll never be good enough, though. Like, you know, it's back to that testament, right? It's like, oh, like, it's never going to be good enough. You know, like, sit down, you know?
Yeah.
Aren't you tired?
Because you'll see some people that are... If she didn't feature enough people, then, you know, people would say she was selfish. And if she features too many people, then people are going to say
then she didn't do enough work.
She didn't do enough work.
It's not her original work.
Yeah, you're just letting everybody else make the songs for you.
And she's making money off of other people's true artistry, you know?
Yeah, so it's like, you're never going to make everybody happy. So no matter what you do.
Mm-mm. But yeah, that... I don't know. Something about that song. And it sounds so like... clear and like simple, like instrumentation.
It's so funny because it's like talking about riding in the car, right? And it totally makes you want to be in a convertible. Like
yeah.
It does.
It just has that feeling of just, it reminds me of the movies when.
Like the scarf is blowing in the wind.
Yeah.
Like you have your headscarf on, it's blowing in the wind.
When people have to just like do a cross country trip because they're running from something or
yeah,
it's very like that, like road trip with a BFF slash maybe they had sex.
It's another one of the countryer songs to make everybody that, you know, there's enough country songs for people to stop criticizing it of like she rapped once and sang opera. It's not a country album. It's
yeah. And then Levi's,
I love this song. Post Malone is on this song. Yeah. And I was like, nobody better than him because it is totally his sound too. Mm-hmm. The way that like the vowels are drawn out like in certain parts, like
pretty
little thing.
Yeah.
Turn me on. You know, that's Post Malone does
that
stuff all the time.
I don't know much about him at all. I don't even know what hit I'm supposed to know of Post Malone. I don't know
what
happened.
There's a bunch. If I played
him. Oh my God, he's done a ton of stuff.
Yeah, I don't know how I never knew. I feel like I threw like him and The Weeknd and like Jack Harlow in a box together.
Oh, wow.
And I was just like, yeah, those are some guys that are out that I don't really know much about. Mm-hmm. And now I know them more separately, but I just never knew Post Malone stuff. I didn't even know what genre it goes along with the genres. I was like, I don't know what genre he is, so I'm not even gonna mess with it.
Dude, this song is so, I've listened to it so many times because it's just simply sexy. Like it's simply sexy. Mm-hmm. It's like somebody like and also like, I mean Levi Jean's classic, like Levi jeans, when you have a curvy body, like wearing Levi jeans, like does something to your curves that like is inexplainable. Okay. and it affects so many people. And, and I'm glad there's a song about it. Okay. Finally there's a song about it.
Oh wow.
But all it is, like this whole song is, it's these lyrics. I'll let you be my Levi jeans so you can hug that ass all day long.
It's so good.
Because they're usually tight, right? Yeah. They're hugging your ass. And then it says, snap a picture, bring it on. I wish you were my Levi jeans the way it's popping out your phone. So like taking a picture of somebody in their Levi jeans and the ass is so fat that it seems like it's popping out the phone.
Oh,
like,
that's
I love
so
that.
Good.
It's so fun and it's sexy. And I'm just like, oh, it just makes you want to shake your little hips, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, it's good.
Apparently the Levi company, because the song is spelled with two I's, and they changed their social media to, they added an extra I.
Oh, did they really?
That's so great. What
they're
I
like,
heard,
we could sue Beyonce, or
what I heard about this was that back in the day when she was in Destiny's Child and she was trying to work, because you know how like artists come up and they work with different designers, they get clothes, they get, you know, sponsorships or whatever, however that is, they work together. People didn't want to work with Destiny's Child because they had asses and people didn't make clothes for ass.
People didn't make clothes for ass. And I want to say that I, even when I was in high school, I could only wear American Eagle jeans because those are the only jeans, well, or Levi's. I could only wear Levi's or American Eagle jeans because they were the only jeans that were made for women with hips.
Yeah.
Like at my age, I was still a teenager and I was like, okay.
Yeah. Because that's when everybody was shopping at like Abercrombie and all that shit. Oh, right.
Choking on that, the smell of the place.
So gross. But yeah, so that's like in Renaissance when Uncle Johnny made my dress because nobody else would fucking make her dress. You know, I mean, that was prom, but whatever. Mm-hmm. Like he made their clothes because they also didn't have anybody who was trying to work with them. But Levi's worked with them is what Tina said or somehow they were saying. I'm bad with my sources right now, but yes. So they were able to wear Levi's from what you're saying, like they fit, it fit them, and they wore jeans because they were country.
Yeah.
And just like she's talking about just wearing a white t-shirt and denim. And there's so many pictures of Destiny's Child back in the day wearing so much denim.
Levi is very durable too. And it's, you mentioned, you know, just being in country, like people in farm towns, like Carhartt is a big brand now. It's always, it's always been a big brand in farm. It's industrial, like for farming, and Levi's was
Detroit.
Is that too? Yeah. There's a line in here that's it's so good. It says, "Where is it? Let me rattle that snake with my venom denim."
I love that.
Like let me get your dick hard with my jeans. It's so good. I'm like, how clever, venom denim. That's so good.
Yeah, that's another thing of like the songs. There's so many singles.
Yeah,
like, that has to be a single.
Yeah, you said that earlier. You were like,
and like
so
Miley Cyrus
could be...
has to be a single. Mm-hmm. Yaya has to be a single.
I don't think Yaya is gonna be a single.
No,
and I
man.
Think it's because it's long. And I don't think that's a song you can cut for radio and get the same quality out of it.
Yeah it's 4:34.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But how much of it in the beginning is the talking?
Oh, yeah. It could be that, too. I
like,
just
so
want,
have
but
to
as
cut
long
it
as there's,
it, yeah.
If there's like a visual album, that'd be great. But I just want there to be a video for that song.
Wait, Desert Eagle, is that the next one?
Flamenco.
No, Flamenco.
Oh, Flamenco.
Which.
Don't know nothing.
Flamenco, I know, is Latin, at least, which when I was listening, when, all the people on TikTok that I was watching that were making their predictions of what Cowboy Carter was going to be, they were like, well, the way that she put out some visuals that were, it looked like a radio, and they were looking into what border radio used to be. And border radio was radio stations on the Mexican border who didn't have to be restricted to the payola and all the things that were going on in the United States for the people who they would actually play Latin artists and black artists. Mm. And she was kind of giving a nod to that of like, this is who gave us a chance. And that means that Latin music and country music and black music was crossing over because of border radio, like all together.
Huh.
So the fact that she had flamenco as like some Latin music on the album was interesting.
Was a nice shout out and
yeah, and another genre to throw everything in. But yeah, oh my God, when I first heard that, the first time I listened to it, I was just in here fucking dancing. I'm not a big clapper. You know, Jeff's the clapper. And it's like, we clap it. And I'm sitting here in my apartment, clapping, dancing my ass off.
Mm-hmm.
Yaya opens. It's such a good song. And I got American Bandstand vibes, like initially American Bandstand. And it's like when they did variety shows, yes, when TV was first a thing, you know, like, and like those kind of getting the crowd involved kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yes.
And, yeah, and then, you know, the Beach Boys reference. And
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a phenomenal song, but it does that, like Linda Martell, right? She does the whole,
the intro.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I guess that's before, that's listed separate.
The Linda
before,
Martell show.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
The beginning is a sample of Nancy Sinatra, "These Boots Are Made for Walking." You know that song?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that song. That is such a fun song. And I also don't think about
just the sound, right?
Yeah, that.
She's like, hey, girls, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Beyonce. That's the American Bandstand, I think. Yeah. That's like, yeah.
Yeah. And that genre is like, she kind of wasn't a genre. Like, "These Boots Are Made for Walking" was kind of like country-esque because she was talking about boots, but she's also Frank Sinatra's daughter. So she wasn't like making like country. Mm-hmm. I didn't think. I don't know. But I always loved that song. I didn't even realize it was that when I first heard it. I was just like, this is just cool. And it reminds me of Get Me Bodied or Get Embodied? You know that song?
Mm-mm.
Beyonce. It's she does like, she goes through the dances. Like, she's like, pat your weave, baby. Pat your, you know that? Like, Naomi Campbell, what? Naomi Campbell, what? It's like giving a let's go through the dances. It was in Homecoming. She does it with Solange. Like, Solange comes out and they do all the dances. But she's saying like different dances in this, like we twerking, we mashed potato, we swimming. Those are all dances.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. She. What does she open with? We're clapping, and like we're swimming, like as if it's like kind of the old school, like
'50s,
like dance. And then she kind of says we're twerking. Yes. And I was like, what a way to cross decades, you know?
Because I just knew, I'm like, oh man, when people start twerking a country, that's when everyone's going to get mad.
Yep.
And then Candace Owens is going to come out and, yeah.
She already said. Yeah, she's not wearing enough clothes for country.
We
like
jerk
and
we twerking. That's what she said.
Yeah, the jerk is also a dance.
Yeah.
But yeah, oh, I love that fucking song.
What a hype man song. That's such a hype man. Like, that's a song like you can play. Like, Jeff, you put it on one of your reels the other day. Yeah. And you just put like the 10 seconds. And I was like, that's such a hype song. Yeah. You can take several pieces from that song and hype up something and get attention. And it's such a good like instigator for attention, you know.
And the Beach Boys, like their production too, they had really cool production that is similar to this type of production, like sounding really like analog and clear, but also low end, like low frequencies. And I like that she says some lover boy line that there's a song in Dirty Dancing. It's like, come here, lover boy.
And then she says, and lover boy, you're so fine. You got me losing my mind, but you got to keep the faith. Keep the faith. Who's the guy that sings that?
Billy Joel.
No. Gotta have faith, the faith.
Oh, George Michael.
Yeah. I wonder if that's just like a nod to George Michael or something.
I don't know.
Because it's kind of like, he was kind of like dancey too.
What
next?
Is it Riverdance?
Oh, Louisiana and then Desert Eagle.
I don't know so those songs another, like, well.
Okay, Desert Eagle was the one I texted Esther earlier this week, And out of nowhere, I just said a lot of dick riding songs.
I didn't know what you were talking about. I meant to ask you.
I was listening to Desert Eagle, and I was listening to.
I don't think I was supposed to get this text. I don't know what it means.
I tried to tell. She wasn't confident.
I just know that there's been a couple days since then, and you've just been sitting with that thought of like, I don't think I was supposed to get that.
I was just gonna ask you, because
Esther was like, some people will say dick riding as like you're a suck up, you're like stop dick riding.
Yeah, like kissing, and I wasn't sure which one it was. I'm like, I don't know.
Like,
if this
or
is
it
the,
could be, you know, like
the
actual
fucking one.
Fucking
no, but
part.
I was listening to Levi Jeans, which is like a very like tantalizing, right, seductive song, and then I would like go
lyrics.
To Desert Eagle. And yeah, the lyrics are like,
how come I can't remember this song?
Cash out on a video, make him cash app to see the rodeo.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Drink me till it's done, eat it up. Drink me till it's done, eat it up.
I remember the do-si-do part, but the weird thing about that is like when I don't know, when a song hasn't like penetrated like that much to where I'll listen to an album and I'll be like, oh, this song I like and I remember, and then another song will be like, oh, that's just a like a song that I skip or I just tune out or whatever. But these songs that I don't know that well yet, I feel like are great songs, and eventually it's just gonna be like, oh shit, I didn't realize that this was so good.
And then we go to Riverdance.
Oh my God! Well, the Louisiana song.
Another dick
I don't
riding
understand.
Song.
Oh, this song is
bounce
so
on
good.
Shit dance.
I love. Oh man.
Running through the river.
The seeing the TikTok dances for Riverdance are insanity. Yeah.
Wait, so I haven't seen those yet. I'm not on that
part.
Oh
man.
Oh yeah. So you can see how it like, what where people are coming from of like all of the albums kind of tying into each other, because this she's got a lot of dance. She's got rock references. She's got dance a lot of dance references. You know.
Yeah, this is such a dance song and such a fun song. And also like Riverdance, like just that Irish dance. Like,
yeah.
That's
it's just
hilarious.
Really, yeah, it's just really funny making people shake their ass to this.
Yeah, just, I really, I wonder.
I love it so much.
I'm really not getting the Riverdance title, but maybe. Yeah, maybe there's something in
I think,
there that I'm
like
not
you
gonna...
know Riverdance, like the Irish dance stuff.
Yeah, I know that, but I'm really not connecting it here.
I think
you know?
It's the rhythm, like the little literal rhythm, because I've seen them do like the Riverdance stuff on TikTok to it.
Oh, okay.
And it's like the pace of it and the rhythm of it goes along with that Irish feet thing.
I like what you're doing with your fingers right
this
now.
This is all I've got. I can't do it with the... Because they just put their hands on their waist and then do the feet. But it goes along with it. It's so weird because I definitely don't know the connection between Irish river dance and country music. But I'm guessing there is one.
Another friend of mine had gotten Eclipse or got an Airbnb in Ohio.
Oh my God, everyone's going to the Eclipse.
I've never known this to be a thing that people traveled for.
Yeah, well, we didn't have to travel before. So, Two Hands to Heaven, she says, God only knows why, though. And, wait, did she say only God knows why, though? I forget, but anyway, there's a Beach Boys song called God Only Knows.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's another like nod to the Beach Boys.
I also think like it's cool that like that, you know, that kind of production, Brian Wilson's production, and like they're referenced twice in two different tracks.
Yeah.
At least probably some other things I didn't catch, you know. And I think for his time when Pet Sounds came out, like that was really pivotal for music.
Yeah.
Like it was nothing had really sounded like that.
Yeah.
And so that's cool. Like she's recognizing like artists who have changed, innovated upon music.
Mm-hmm.
And Brian Wilson was a big part of that. So.
And I noticed this today. She said, "No Candle in the Wind." And Candle in the Wind was a Elton John song written for Princess Diana.
Oh.
And I just think it's really interesting where
Jeff and I
at the same time.
I feel like it goes along with, like, Princess Diana was seen as like this outcast and she wasn't good enough for the royal family, but everybody worshipped her.
Mm-hmm.
But like when a black woman isn't fitting in, it's, you don't get candle in the wind.
Well, I would just say it's almost similar though. It's just like, I mean, so many people admire and worship Beyonce. I mean, we're doing a whole like podcast on this album.
Yes, now.
And she has so much, she's done so much. Diana did so much.
Mm-hmm.
But still it's almost like you're just below the pedestal, right?
Mm-hmm.
You'll never be that. You'll never be that. Mm-hmm. And so like, I almost feel like there's that similar, she's comparing herself.
Yeah.
And it's like, Diana did so much and she tried so hard and still was seen as not enough in a certain, you know, caliber of royalty or in their eyes. And like, Beyonce is doing the same thing. And like, people recognize that. People see that. Like, I mean, we've been talking about it. It's just like how, you know, Jeff was saying, like, it doesn't matter what she did. Like, people are going to say it wasn't good enough or she wasn't recognizing other people enough or like, you know, like there's going to be that Diana, that candle in the wind effect, you know?
And
Tyrant? Did we do Tyrant?
Yeah, Tyrant.
Man.
I feel like was the same kind of thing where it sounds
Tyrant
partially like a dick riding song.
It changed. But then. Because I never really fully listened to it. I've listened to it enough to figure out which songs that I like without doing a deep dive into the meaning of all of them as much as you have. And it wasn't until today that you showed me like the lyric video, basically, not a music video, but just a lyric video that Beyonce put up on YouTube that kind of changed the, you know, when you really start looking at the lyrics of like, oh, this is a darker song than the beat matches. You know what I mean? The beat makes it a fun song. And then you're reading the lyrics and you're like, oh, this is.
Because for Tyrant, she says,
hips are so hypnotic. I'm such, just relax. I got this. I got that exotic. Every time I ride it, every time I ride this, I don't like to sit up in the saddle, boy. I got it.
Because it's not, that sounds ride like a dick like riding hydraulics. Song, right?
Ride it like hydraulics.
But then,
she's like owning sex. Like she's owning
the
dick riding.
The video has somebody that looks like Trump walking through it. And
but did she make the video?
Yes.
Oh.
It was a lyrics video that she put up. And one of the things that I had seen somebody break this down on TikTok, but then I listened to the lyrics in a different way, where she's saying, for one thing, when the sun goes down, like sundown towns. And where is it? Where she says, hang. Wait.
To me, just even the beginning.
Yeah.
One by one, you hang them high.
Your hands are steady and you sleep at night. How did you
turn your heart to stone?
Yeah.
Hangman, answer me now. And so it's
you
like,
owe me a debt. You stole him from me.
Yeah.
I hated you once and I envy you
hide
now.
Hide your man when the hangman
out.
Come in town.
Yeah.
Later on is what. So it's just like this guy's hanging, is hanging black men. Hide your.
It
you
really
know.
Sounds like a song about lynching
where
it's like they're hanging men. You took my man from me. Now I'm going to run away.
And then you're like, is this runaway slaves fucking?
Yeah. But then she's like,
I feel her.
I'm a tyrant.
She says, I feel her eyeing me like owls. Hide your man when the hangman comes into town. I don't know. I don't know that it's a, I don't know. It's confusing me actually a little bit because part of me is like, she's talking to a woman. Where is the lyrics here? The beginning, she said, you owe me a debt. You stole him from me. I hated you once. I envy you now. She's like telling somebody that took something from her, like, teach me, or like, you owe me this. Like, the least you can do is to teach me or show me the way, show me how to rule, or I don't know. I don't know.
It's interesting.
But the video is interesting. What you're describing doesn't have anything to do with how I'm interpreting it. So.
But
I feel like it's that double interpretation.
The video
is the other.
Is the words in a dirt what, a deserty looking place, and there's a man in a suit with a white hat that walks across.
Red hat.
With a red hat that walks across. So it's like, I feel like red hat is just Trump at this point in life.
Yeah.
Especially if you're so purposeful with your...
Yeah. And I love Dolly at the beginning, like, strike a match. We're about to light up this juke joint. Mm. Like, she's just like... gonna burn the bitch down.
Yeah, no,
whatever it is.
Like, build it even new. Yeah.
Both sides. Yeah, both mm-hmm. ways. It's like if you could be burning something down because you're pissed off at a woman took your man or someone did you wrong or whatever, or you're like gonna burn this bitch down because fuck America.
Mm-hmm. It needs to be rebuilt. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And the only way to do it is to burn it down.
Yeah. Which seems like a theme in the whole album.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and she did, she kind of did that with her relationship. Like, I mean, yeah. We know that. We've seen that happen. Like, you know, dealing with the infidelity thing and like having to build from that again and, you know, navigating that and rebuilding that trust. And it's like, okay, if she can do it with her own relationships, she can do it, you know, she's like, this woman can do it with a culture, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It. One part, where did it say?
Beyonce's
the whole
unstoppable.
City after me was something. I don't see it now, but I know I heard that in it.
Here, yeah. Scot-free whole city after me. Have you seen her? 5'9", thick and fine. What a tragedy.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, it's a very interesting song, but you're like, it's definitely more going on than what you, what it, it, you know, there's elements at the very least that are like, this is more than what you would, if you're just giving a quick listen to and you hear the beat and the rhythm of the song, it sounds more fun and upbeat and happy than some of the meanings of some of the lyrics could be.
Yeah. Sweet Honey Buckin'. I didn't realize it was Patsy Cline at first. I thought that was cool.
Oh, yeah?
At the beginning, I Fall to Pieces.
Mm.
It's Patsy Cline.
Yeah.
Which is cool. I love Patsy Cline. I don't know. Do you fuck with Patsy Cline?
I like Patsy Cline. Do people not like Patsy Cline?
No, I just didn't know. Like, I'm sure people, if I didn't know if everybody has just heard Patsy Cline at this point. I don't even know what everyone's heard.
This song is like about ownership. Like it's like owning your shit. Like, what does it say here? This ain't Calabasas. We don't need highways. We can take back roads. Have you never been riding, baby? Step into that stirrup. Hop on my saddle. Snake on my feet, they rattle. And the bag is the only thing getting lassoed. It's like,
that's
awesome. I'm like owning this shit. I'm like making my bread. Like, that's so cool.
Yeah. I liked it. And it was a... It seems like a...
it makes sense to have it almost jam. As like the second to last track because it's mm-hmm. like almost the resolution, right? Like,
yeah.
I'm owning my shit. And like one of the lyrics is like, I'm going back home. Like,
Yeah, this like, just feels like a journey. Feels mm-hmm. so theatrical. I felt like I was watching a movie when I listened to this whole album.
Yeah.
And then Amen. Oh, Jesus fucking Christ.
This, Amen.
This house was built of blood and bones and it crumbled. That's the whole burn the shit down mm-hmm. and do it again. The statues they made were beautiful. They were lies of stone. That was another,
run and tell that. Say it with your chest, you know?
Man, yeah. There was another thing.
This is referencing
that,
the American Requiem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, even just... Requiem. I just looked up Requiem because I was like, I don't think I even know exactly what Requiem means.
I just like the way it sounds.
It's a mass for the repose, which is the rest of the souls of the dead.
Wait, can you say that again?
It's a mass. So like a mass, like a church
mass.
Oh,
okay, okay, okay.
Like a Catholic mass.
Okay.
For the repose, which means like rest of the souls of the dead.
So
it's like a funeral, like a...
Like a recognition and like a
rest in peace. We're going to do this ceremony. Mm. And, but they don't, it doesn't say a funeral as much, but I think it's kind of
a collection of people to acknowledge,
but it's a music. It's also like the music because it can be just the mass or it can be the music that was composed for the mass of the souls of the dead. which is just like, oh my God, this is like an album for everybody that died for the wrong reasons, for that didn't get their due, that didn't get a voice. Like, just freaked me out. And that it's still happening. But oh, I know what I was gonna say. The women that were analyzing the, like, guessing what was gonna happen on the album, one of the things that Beyonce did was she put up lights, like projections on different museums in different places.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, to promote the album before it came out. And one of the ones she did was in Central Park, and without permission. She just put these things out. And this woman, Little Debbie on TikTok, was so cute because she's just like, the projections, it's like graffiti. It's like she's doing art and she's doing it without permission. And she just went down this rabbit hole of where she was doing it, and where she put one of the things was by Christopher Columbus Circle, or there was a statue of Christopher Columbus, and she put it on this art museum in Central Park, which I didn't know that Central Park used to be a neighborhood with black people. It was a black neighborhood.
And not as long ago.
Tore it down. People want to remember Central Park.
Yeah.
And they didn't give them anything for it.
Yeah. I mean, they just, an eminent domain situation.
They just moved a whole neighborhood. And so that's why it was so important that it was Central Park. But for it to be the statues they made were beautiful. They were lies of stone. That just fucked me up.
Wow.
But, and the only God knows.
Seneca Village.
Yes.
It was before.
It just seems like the only God knows theme is like, okay, you guys are saying that, no, this didn't happen. Racism didn't happen. You're always playing the race card. Well, God knows, you know, like, you can say whatever you want, but what's right will be right when you die.
Yeah. Seneca Village was about 225 residents, roughly 2/3 African Americans and 1/3 Irish immigrants, and a small number of German individuals.
And how did they force? Was it eminent domain? I feel like that's what it was, or maybe it was before that was even a law. I don't know.
Yeah,
but like eminent domain.
Yeah. Oh, I think it was just, hey, run that shit.
Yeah.
I think was the official term.
Right. In 1855,
Yeah, and they said it began in 1825, so it's like they were there for a while. They were there for a good 30 years.
Because, yeah, it seems like in the end, and it feels like a going back to the beginning, because, like, she's singing American Requiem again. It just reminds me so much of, like, a musical. When you see a musical and then the choir comes out at the end, like, to end it all. Every character is on stage. You know that? Mm-hmm. Like, in a musical. And then it just goes right into Renaissance, which, if this is burn the bitch down and let's build back up a utopia, Renaissance is the utopia. It's crazy.
It was eminent domain.
Yeah? Well. Was that even a law then?
Apparently.
Yeah, so essentially, but this is what they had to do then. They basically said, oh, building a park here is going to be better for the public, i.e. the white public, than you having a home. So, scram.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's crazy. And because they don't have to pay them anything. They don't have to relocate them. They don't have to do anything. They can say, oh, this is for the
Jersey.
Greater good. So we're gonna literally take your land.
And how do I not? Am I just stupid and I don't know this until Beyonce?
No, there's 1,000. But no, the problem is, Esther, is that there's 1,000 of these.
Eminent domains?
Racism that we don't know about.
Racist facts of history that you don't know until later on.
I'm still discovering ones. Like, I feel like I discover one at least once a month. I'm like, oh, that is.
Yeah, there's 1,000 of them. So it's not as much. You know, I'm sure we can all be like, we should have did more to. But it's also, if you're going back to when you're a kid, it's like, I'm not gonna feel bad for what my teachers decided to teach me.
I went to Waterford Schools. Thanks, Waterford Schools.
I went to Southfield Schools. I
had
teachers. There was a handful of whites. in my school, but they're still at the mercy of what is the lesson plan? What
you
is still, the book?
You know more Black history than I do. Because
in most of the Black history I learned wasn't even was from the teachers, just like just talking and having conversations, not like
this
not from the actual
because
actual
shit.
Books
no
would
book.
Be like this is what the book says. You know what I mean? And then the track coach would be like, all right, we're after school now. We can just talk. Like, you know what I mean? I'm just going to talk to these students. I'm not, this isn't a lesson. I'm not quizzing you. I'm your track coach. So I don't care if this is.
Cause you knew about Tulsa. You knew about Black Wall Street.
Yeah.
You knew
all this
stuff. And I didn't know this until 2020 happened. And
that was Coach Howard.
Michigan. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Southern Indiana was not any better at educating.
I mean, should I educate myself? Yes, I should, but...
you don't know what you don't know. I mean...
You don't know what you don't know, because it's also that's an endless...
Yeah,
you could have did more, and then there's still just other cultures. Mm-hmm, this is just Black culture getting fucked over in America. There's there's other cultures that America's fucked over in another. Then we can get outside of the United States and learn about how people got fucked over around the world. You could just spend your whole life learning about... people getting fucked over and just scratch the surface of it. So it's like, you know, there's only so bad you should feel, because you'll never end. You'll never end up learning at all.
Oh man, now I feel like I need to see the Lemonade visual album again. It's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Oh my God, I really hope we get a visual album for this. I would lose my mind if we got a Cowboy Carter visual album. Like, that would be so fucking cool. Like,
hopefully.
And I hope Dolly's in it and hope Willie's in it.
Oh yeah,
and hopefully the rumors are true about the eclipse being something Beyonce related, because that's in 40 minutes.
Is it midnight?
I'm assuming. I don't know.
Beyonce's production team is behind the eclipse.
Is the eclipse even real? Who knows?
The Bay Clips.
It's like that movie Wag the Dog. Have you seen that? Where they fake the moon landing or something?
Faked a war.
A war? Oh, yeah. Wow. And it's like, it's Beyonce faking the eclipse.
But, so that's the album.
Yeah.
That's Cowboy Carter.
We did it. Yeah, it changed my perspective on country music, because I felt like it reiterated some of the thoughts I had when I watched the beginning of the Country Music Awards today. And it was like, I don't like any of this. And it's like, it was too yay America, yay Texas. It's just like so much of it to me. It's hard for me to not be like, you're just pandering.
Yeah,
and
talk about something
history.
Real.
And it's just like, I'm like, it's crazy that there's so many racist people in Texas, but they also love country music so much. And it's like Texas is the most proud state for its state. But there's a lot of people that aren't white there that you don't like. That's what's crazy to me, is that we're like, man, I fucking love Texas. Don't love everybody that lives here, but I love Texas. I'm like, what do you love then? The physical ground with the imaginary lines around it? What does that even fucking mean? I go crazy. So I really like how this album just kind of made me realize that there's a lot of, you know, not just country music, but yeah, there's a lot of music in general probably that, because of preconceived notions of what type of people liked that, I'm like, I don't know. There's a million things of music for me to learn and get into. Nobody that I grew up with really fucked with country music. How hard am I going to go into learning about something that nobody I know likes?
Beyonce made you enter your yeehaw phase. Jeff,
sure.
You're in your yeehaw phase.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, you stick with us. We'll show you some more yeehaw stuff.
Yeah, you're Southern. You're Indiana.
Southern Indiana.
That's Southern from Michigan.
Yeah, yeah. No, it is, yeah.
That's going down south.
Yep.
I do hope that Act 3 is rock and that she goes into all that.
I feel like she'll do it really well.
Because rock and roll.
She had a song with Jack White that was a rock song.
Lemonade. That song slapped.
Yeah. She's proven that she
can
do it.
Sorry was good.
Yeah.
Sorry was, I guess, more hip. I don't know. It treaded that line, but that Jack White song was so good.
Yeah. They were with Tidal together. Mm-hmm. So they were in business together with Tidal. He was part of it. And she just sent him a bouquet of flowers and he posted it on Instagram. And it said, thank you for your inspiration for my album. So for Cowboy Carter.
Nice.
It's really cool.
She reaches out
to
all the people that have.
She, in going to the roots of country, there's also like the roots of blues, and he always talks about the roots of blues with Sun House and all the what is that called? Sun Studios in Memphis. Yeah, I don't know. I'm forgetting. But yeah, there's a lot of blues influences that he does covers of and he talks about in interviews and such. So it would be really cool to see what she would come up with in a rock album.
Yeah.
And she says, like, when she says, like, I'll save you from the mosh pit or something like that, I'm like, oh, is she going to go into, like, punk rock, like, history? Because there are black punk bands. There, there's a band called Death that's from Detroit. And there's Bad Brains. They're black punk. So it would be cool to see.
Yeah, we're going to learn music history.
Yeah, rock or punk rock, like, or even like that blend would be really, really cool.
Because my dad was born in 1930, so old. And he always told me that he didn't believe that rock and roll was going to take off. I'm like, he's like, boy, was I wrong.
What did he
was literally alive when rock and roll came out.
Oh, wow.
And he listened to black music. He listened to different bands that were, he listened to Mexican music too, but he listened to black music that he would call rhythm and blues. Not even R&B. It was like, but it was the, like the faster music that wasn't called rock and roll yet, but it was rock and roll. And he was just like, yeah, I mean, rock and roll came out and it was just the black music done by different people. And he's like, and it wasn't as good as the music I was already listening to, which was the black music. So he's like, why would that be better? He didn't even understand that. Like,
he didn't understand the purpose.
Just because the white people have more money, that's why.
Yeah, that didn't even equate to him because he's like, I just go see these bands play and I buy these records. There's no internet. You don't know.
Yeah,
how
there's
the
no that.
Radio
there's not
works.
That exposure. Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't know that they weren't going to get that exposure and that kind of popularity. But I always thought that was so weird because it didn't click until way later in life. I'm like, Dad, you didn't know rock and roll was going to take off. That's dumb. Why would you not think that this is the genre? Like the other genre barely even exists anymore.
Like, he's like, I already saw
it. Oh no,
being
he
done.
Was right.
Yeah.
He was super right.
This was a great, you know, it's a great time.
So yeah, a great unpacking and unboxing.
Yeah.
Anything you want to promote, talk about in closing?
Come to a Best Coast Trivia show in Los Angeles because there's probably going to be some Cowboy Carter questions.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. Wednesday night at the Woods.
Wednesday night at the Woods. We do Tuesdays rooftop at Vidir. We do the winery, San Antonio Winery, every month. It's a monthly show. If you want a private show, I can write a specific show. We're about to take on the Bourbon Room.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we just
that's awesome.
We just signed on the Bourbon Room. So Trivia Nights with Best Coast are the best Trivia Nights.
Yeah.
And then Best Coast Media Productions, we're going to start putting some comedy shows in the works.
Yay.
And some variety shows we're working on. So, yeah, it's good stuff.
And what are your handles?
So the trivia on Instagram, it's just Instagram now, Best Coast Trivia LA, TikTok, and then Best Coast Media Productions is just on TikTok right now. Still building the social for the bigger umbrella brand. So
awesome.
Mm-hmm. And then follow me, Becca Wolfley on Instagram, where I make all my jokes.
And TikTok.
Yeah. I haven't ranted on there in a while, but
yeah,
I've been busy.
I'm at Esther Toy, E-S-T-H-E-R-T-O-I, on all social media.
And I am at Jeff Horst, J-E-F-F-H-O-R-S-T-E, on all social media. And
Have shows?
Yeah, I got shows coming up. You know, they're around. April is mostly all in California. And but hey, you know, click on jeffhorst.com or click on the link in my bio, the link tree in all of my social media's bios if you want to see what shows I got coming up.
Yeah, I have a show April 18th at the Open Fist Theater called This Week, where we get a script on Wednesday night and then we rehearse all Thursday and do the show Thursday night, and it's insanity and it's political. So if you like, not all political, current events, political... It's awesome. It's fun. It sketches. We're on the Planet Ant Podcast Network. Planet Ant is a theater in Hamtramck, Michigan. and follow them at Planet Ant DET on all social media. And they're a theater that has a lot of sketch shows, improv, stand up. So go check them out if you're in the Detroit area.
And our.
And follow us everywhere. We're freaking out on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok.
Yeah.
And if Beyonce's watching, thank you for this album.
Thank you so much, Beyonce.
Yes.
For donating 2.5 hours of your day to watch this podcast.
Yes. Thank you, Blue, for making me do this every time I come out of on stage. And yeah.
All right.
So
we did it. Love you all.
Peace.
This has been a production of Planet Ant Podcast, powered by Pinecast.